Praise God for that amazing grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Our Lord Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." So today we focus on honoring and exalting the Lord Jesus as we grieve, as we remember, as we celebrate, as we consider the Lord's work of redemption in a changed life that was committed to honoring and exalting him. We look to the Lord Jesus today who said, "I am the good shepherd." And to one who could no longer eat, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." We could say, perhaps, that she was a victim of ALS, or was she a victim? No, in all these things, I believe that she was more than a conqueror through him who loved her. You know, Fanny has been released from the body that has trapped her, stripped of the pleasures of mobility, of eating, drinking, speaking. And so as I was thinking about how she suffered, she was a woman who leaned on the Lord for strength. And the word that comes to me is acceptance. It was her wish that Christ would be exalted in this service. And I've chosen to read scriptures that I think might reflect some of the kinds of things that she might have felt. Some that would depict some of the struggle that she may have gone through, and yet there is triumph in struggle. And I'd like to start with Psalm 116. It was written by the psalmist David. In ESV, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. And I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. in the courts of the house of the Lord in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And then the Apostle Paul depicts as well suffering and the power that comes as we lean on the Lord Jesus for strength, which I believe that Sister Fanny did so well. 2 Corinthians 4:5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Ever since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. What a precious promise. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So as Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And he is the one who said, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living." That is the Jesus that we serve now. And as John saw Jesus in Revelations 1, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades.'" The Lord Jesus has received his faithful servant home. Today we grieve. We mourn. We remember and we celebrate. May we exalt our risen Lord today, as was Fanny's wish. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come humbly before your presence and acknowledge you as the giver of every good and perfect gift. And there is much about this situation of ALS that Fanny faced that we don't really understand or have all the answers to. But today, Lord, we rest in your sovereignty. We rest in knowing that though our outward man perish, yet the inner man can be renewed day by day. And Lord, it's been such a privilege to see the light and the joy of you, Lord Jesus, coming from a body so incapacitated as Fanny's was, and to yet see her clear and bright spirit communicate care, love, joy, acceptance. And so, Lord, we can only bow in your presence and just pray that you would help us to learn from this what you would have for us. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just wrap your arms of love and care around each one, each grieving family member, that you would give strength for today, for the task that we have before us. I ask that you would empower Julian as he preaches. I ask that you would just bless each part of this service further as we remember and as we celebrate your goodness and who you are and your provision for us. We thank you through Jesus that you are that you have the keys of death and Hades, and that all victory belongs to you, and death shall not triumph over the grave in the end. We rejoice in your goodness and ask your blessing further for your sake and for your glory alone. Amen.
I greet you this morning in the worthy name of our risen Lord, the Lord who Fanny adored, followed, served, and so many more things. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten to us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I stand before you today as one that is glad for that abundant mercy, for the living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It would feel much different this morning had we not confidence in the faith that Fanny lived. As we sang song number 812, it was like verse 3 to me spoke of Fanny's life, particularly the last 2.5 years. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see. Why? Since 'tis my God that leadeth me. If you want to go home with a secret today of how Fanny could embrace ALS and live it contentedly, I think the last part is important, understanding who is leading us. My goal this morning is to honor Fanny's request that we exalt Christ, our risen Lord. That was a specific request she made, and so I will do my best to honor that. And many of you or all of you know that we cannot spend enough time this morning exalting our Lord, because he is so great, he is so awesome, and we never reach his bounds. And so my goal this morning is to lead you in worship and exaltation of him. And so if you go away from here and you feel like that's not what happened, then I will feel like I have failed. He is our risen Lord. He's the one who said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, obviously, he talks about two different deaths here. But we know that there is an outward man, as Laverne referred to, our body that dies. But he is reassuring us as the resurrection and the life that there is a spiritual death that does not have to happen. Praise the Lord. I have 3 points I'd like to emphasize this morning as we exalt our risen Lord. The first is his glorious provision of salvation. Secondly, his glorious provision of love. And thirdly, his glorious provision of heaven. I invite you to listen as I read from John chapter 3 as we think of salvation. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Jumping a few verses then, Jesus continues, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We often look to this as an understanding of what it means to be saved, being born again. The verses I didn't read speak of the Spirit and how it's like the wind. We never catch wind or we never see wind. We only see effects of it. The Holy Spirit is like that in our lives. We can't see him there, but we can definitely tell when he's there in the life of a person. And I can tell you, even though I didn't know Fanny as long as some of you, I believe I saw the effects of the Spirit. Moving, shaping her, and allowing the Spirit to direct her. Now turning focus to Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, but just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Salvation is so much more than being saved from sin and guaranteed a place in heaven. It's an ongoing work in our lives that shouldn't stop until we die. Believing in Jesus, as we saw in the first part in John, is the starting point, but unless we surrender our will to his, we are missing the heart of the gospel. In fact, we use the phrase, someone accepted the Lord or received the Lord. In a lot of ways, I think, as I look at the gospel and what its implications are for us, surrender really is almost a better word than to receive him. Yes, there is a part of us receiving. We receive the Holy Spirit. We receive salvation. It's a gift. But there is so much included in that, and that is surrender. Because I can receive something, but unless I recognize the stewardship of it, I don't realize that, oh, so someone else is calling the shots now. That's where the surrender comes in. Peter tells us that God has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. So we are not left as orphans and left alone. Peter tells us that God has given us everything. And so, in a lot of ways, if we lack those things, it's not God's fault. It's somehow we're not tapping into that power to live godly. I remember hearing someone wondering why a person wouldn't become a Christian, because he's got nothing to lose and so much to gain. I pushed back a little bit when I heard it, and I said, well, salvation is a free gift, as in there is nothing we can do to earn it. Following Christ means total surrender, and the one thing we do lose is ourselves. Jesus said, what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? He was talking about this surrender, about giving up our own will for the sake of others. And we have a perfect example. Jesus Christ not only came to die and be resurrected, but he came on earth, what? To do the will of his Father. And so we can look to Jesus as the one who came to do the will of his Father, and he laid down his will, calling us to do the same. It is such a privilege to be called out of darkness into Christ's marvelous light. I urge you to heed his call if you have never responded to him. And for those of you that have, I encourage you to worship our God who has provided so bountifully for us. I'd just like for you to think about that a moment. Worship him. Point two, his glorious provision of love. Romans 8:18 is where I turn to for this. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Just pause here. We believe that's what Fanny has experienced, the redemption of her body. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called, whom he called, those he also justified, and whom he justified, those he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you getting a picture of his glorious provision of love? Pain, suffering, and hardship are something all of us experience to a greater or lesser degree. It is a result of the fall of man. We all know Fanny had her share, especially the last several years. I was so blessed and encouraged by how she embraced with courage the disease that we believe finally took her life. I don't ever remember her calling a pity party for others to commiserate with her. In fact, I believe most people who visited her went away saying she blessed them in numerous ways. I know that's how I felt when we visited her. As David said, even though she wasn't able to verbalize as much writing on her board, the things she wrote and her spirit told us that she had an inner strength that was coming from somewhere, and I think I know where it was coming from. I'd like to pick up on a secret I believe Fanny had. Paul tells us that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. But who of us haven't felt like we have been separated from his love? You see, it's the very things that he mentions that can make us doubt whether Christ loves us. The famine, the nakedness, the peril, the sword, the tribulation, distress, persecution. Deep down, all of us are a little bit like Job or his friends. We believe if we do everything right, our life will work out pretty well. And then when it doesn't work out that way, then we start saying, well, what did I do wrong? And so those things can tend to make us wonder, does God love us? However, when we experience a close relationship with Christ, a trust develops, and when we go through difficult things, the one thing that isn't shaken is our confidence in God. I'm going to venture that one of our greatest fears is needing to go alone through difficulties and even death. There's that fear that we're going to do it alone. However, when we have Jesus speaking peace to us, telling us we are his children, we then realize we aren't alone on the journey. Some people say we can overemphasize the love of God to the exclusion of some of his other attributes. And I agree, that may be a possibility, but relationship with God based on anything but love seems to bring a lot of insecurity. So a love relationship with our Lord brings security, just as it does in family relationships. The children who are the most secure are those who feel loved for who they are. The same is true in our relationship with God. When we know that God loves us for who we are, for who he created us to be, not because I measure up to something, some kind of spiritual maturity that somehow is just right for him, but he loves me because he made me and he died for me. That can be the foundation of my relationship with him. And when I have that, then I go through the difficult times and I'm not alone. Because I think that is one of our greatest fears, is that we will go through those things alone. And I'm not talking about alone as in without others. I'm talking about in our relationship with the Lord. Jesus said, we love him because he first loved us. He pursued us. When love is the foundation of our relationship, we are at rest and we find peace even in the midst of difficulties. I would like to suggest this was Fanny's secret to accepting her disease. And I hold that as a challenge for you. Develop a relationship with the Lord based on trust. Because when we know that he's there with us, we can face anything. And this is really an answer to the question I've had as I hear of stories of people, Christian believers, being persecuted and tortured. And I say, how could they do that? Well, the one thing that the persecutors and the torturers can't take away from them is their relationship with the Lord. They may be away from family, they may be away from church, but they're not away from the Lord. What a blessing. Christ's love is amazing. Take some time to revel in it and worship him. Exalt him. And now my final point, his glorious provision of heaven. Laverne already read the one scripture I was going to read from John. Don't let your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Many of you know this. In my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus said he's going to prepare a place for us, for you. And I've never heard that there's not going to be enough room for all people. Jesus said he's made a place for us. However, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. We don't just show up and say, okay, I'd like a room. It's based on relationship that we've established here, because he reached down to us and we've accepted, we've received that, and we've surrendered our lives to him. Revelation 21, verse 1 says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. In our grief and sorrow, we often look at the future and say, finally, there'll be a time when we'll be away from heartache. And I understand that. I understand that we long for that time. But I trust that you long for something more. I trust you long for a person, the person of Jesus Christ. What a great God that would provide a place for us in his presence after we die. And while there's a lot about the afterlife that I don't know about, I do believe that Fanny and others of faith go to a place of bliss in the presence of God. It would appear as though heaven is reserved then for all believers after Christ has returned and claimed his inheritance as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But, you know, I really don't think that it's important to try to figure out all those things. And while seeing family and friends will definitely be a part of the joy, I resonate with Fanny Crosby that I long to see my Savior, first of all. My desire is that Christ would become so dear to me that longing to see him supersedes all other motivations of getting to heaven. I believe when Christ is our life, and he is, but when we truly allow him to be that life, he becomes the most precious thing to us. And so we're not going to be trying to figure out, so are they going to have this in heaven, are they going to have that in heaven? To me, that's quibbling, because heaven is about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done so much for us. And I trust that he becomes like that parable that Jesus said, where he said a man found a pearl of great price, and he sold everything he had so he could buy that pearl. I like to think of that pearl as, first of all, the kingdom of heaven, but more importantly, the person who is the kingdom of heaven, Jesus Christ. We sell everything we have so that we can get that pearl, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I like to imagine, I've been blessed by a song where the lyrics go, "Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah, or will I be able to speak at all?" I can only imagine. And it puts into words some of the things I've wrestled with. So what will I do before Jesus? I don't know. I know one of the things I will do is fall down before him, because it says every knee will bow. And so I invite you to allow the Lord to become precious to you, so that you long for the time when you will do what we will do in front of him. Funerals are a time to evaluate. Where am I headed? Am I pursuing the things that God wants me to pursue? Will I leave a legacy of faithfulness, as Fanny has done for us, and many that have gone before, and many of you in this congregation as well? But it's always a good time. While we don't like the idea of death and of funerals, there's something about that introspection that happens when we have to deal with our own mortality that makes us say, okay, so I've been getting off track in this area. Lord, I want to change that. I haven't been living like God wants me to live. God, I want to change that. So I think part of exalting him is being able to listen to him speaking to you in ways that he wants you to change course. Brother Melvin, I just pray that this presence of the Lord will be very real to you in the coming days as you live with the reality of Fanny being gone. Thank you for the example you were to us as a congregation of a loving husband and of the marriage that you portrayed. And to the rest of you family, I just wish you the Lord's blessings as you grieve and process. And as Fanny, I believe, would want you to do, laugh at times as well. My goal today has been to exalt our risen Lord. That really should be a life goal. That when others look at us, they can see that we not only claim him as Lord, but that we live that way as well. Jesus tells us in Matthew that there's going to be many who come to him at the end and say, "Lord, Lord." And he's going to say, "I never knew you." So it is possible to claim him as Lord, but not live that way. And he said, "Those who do the will of his Father are his children," in that passage. Let's exalt him today and every day. He is truly worthy of our exaltation. And so I just invite you, as we continue, as we go through the viewing, exalt our Lord. He is great, he is mighty, and we've looked at three ways that he has provided for us: salvation through his love, and preparation for us in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we exalt your name. You who are high and lofty and above all. We say with the psalmist as well, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What are we that you are mindful of us? But Lord, we know that through the person of Jesus Christ, you came to show us that every human being has worth, and that you have called each of us to relationship with you, to fellowship with you. And Lord, we stand in awe that the God of the universe has called each of us to himself. Lord, may we not somehow take pride in that, but may we, with humility, embrace that and surrender our lives to you for furtherance in your kingdom. We pray this through Christ. Amen.
Turn to number 387, Nearer My God to Thee. Let's sing the first stanza and the refrain in unison on the melody, and then break into parts for the final four stanzas. First stanza in unison.
Still, my son shall be near. James 4:8, draw near unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. I think that was Fanny's salvation in these last days, salvation I'm speaking of in a broad sense. But this time, we would like to hear from the brothers. Brother Al and Lee will share a bit of a tribute, and then Brother Paul will read the obituary. So, come ahead, Lee.
Well, I'm honored just to be asked to reminisce a little bit about my sister's life. One thing about it, she did glorify God. Words that come to me are precious, special. Could be piercing, too. And could be humorous. All kind of wrapped in one. And if you spend some time with her, I guarantee you'll see Jesus, too. So, I know that Nathan's got a stopwatch, so I think we got 5 minutes apiece, right? Just a little fun. The first word that comes to me is fun, okay? And my bedroom, this had to be when I was maybe 5, 6, 7 years old. And right next door were the girls. You know, Fanny was 12 years older, Mary 13, Bertha 14. That created a lot of laughter and fun and stuff. A lot of noise. I heard some, sometimes I didn't. I tried to hear it all. And, but I don't know if you guys still do this, but they kneel. That's a thing where you try to press your fingers this way, not this way. But Fanny, she couldn't have weighed more than 110 pounds, but she would beat everybody, including Vernon. And, of course, then people like Melvin and Raymond and Elvin came along and ruined all that. The next word that comes to me is teacher. She was my teacher, and this too probably when I was about 7 years old. You remember the East Side Sunday School house? Does anybody remember that? I think it's right. I could find it, but I can't tell you how to get there. But what did you say? Oh, I know which way is east. Southeast, I would guess, right? Well, anyway, during summer school, Fanny was my teacher. And we had little gold stars, little silver stars. And of course, I tried to get the gold ones. And I thought because of my relationship, my sister's a teacher, I thought I could somehow benefit from that relationship. And I think it actually worked the other way. But I thought, she is such a wonderful teacher. You know, we had a great teacher. Anybody that went to Poplar School knew what a great teacher was. And I thought, Fanny is really good. I think she's just about as good as Mrs. Spears, you know. I don't know, that probably don't ring a bell with too many people, but Mrs. Spears was a great teacher. I see a quilt. So quilt, that picture that's back there with Fanny, a couple of them in a quilt. That's really precious because that was Fanny. And just 2 days ago, I was talking to Maddie, which is my grandson Stefan's wife. And I just got to talking and it happened just about the time we got word that Fanny passed away. And she talked about that she spent quite a bit of time. Now, I don't know in hours how much time it was, but Fanny was teaching Maddie. Now, Maddie's at that time, probably 20, and teaching Maddie how to quilt. And she said, that built such a relationship. She said, I don't have that kind of relationship with anybody in your family than Fanny. She just, those, I don't know, it was 2 hours, 1 hour, or 3 hours. She just said, it was just something I can't explain. And she said, now I'm in a small group at church. The small group is a quilting group. So she says, mostly our older ladies, I don't know how old, but they quilt. So I thought, wow, that's really special. Because I could tell that meant a lot to Fanny, and it meant a lot to Maddie. So, in closing, I'm looking at Nathan. He doesn't really have a stopwatch, I don't think. But anyway, he might have. There's one criteria that Jesus said that you need to do if you're my disciples, so everybody knows that you're my disciples. The verse is in John 13:35. It's just one thing. We ought to be able to do this, right? It's a little harder than just that. By this the world will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So, I tell you what, the demonstration of Fanny is, she demonstrated this, and the community demonstrated this, so that's pretty special. There again, you see Jesus. So, thanks for asking me.
You're right on, Lee. You didn't give me anything extra. I want to think of my sister, Fanny. I think of a picture we have in our photographs of her standing straight with her brother, Vernon. I think it might have been graduation. I don't know from eighth grade or not. She was slim. Erect, and she knew, seemed to know what she wanted in life. Now, Fanny didn't have any idea of what awaited her, but she was ready, whatever took place. But Fanny wasn't scared. I ask people 4 questions. And if you don't know the answer to those 4 questions, you're not ready to live and you're not ready to die. Where did you come from? Why are you here? Where are you going? And how do you know? Fanny knew the answers to all of those questions. Fanny knew when to keep her mouth shut and when to open. When I was actually wanted to know how old I was when this happened. I think I was around 7 years old. They were married. Melvin married Fanny and part of the family. And one day I was over there and I noticed that Fanny no longer was the slim family Fanny that I knew her in the picture. I was perplexed. What is going on? I wanted to ask her, but I was kind of ashamed. I asked my mom, and I think I did ask her, and she just kind of grinned at me. I asked my mom. I couldn't get anything out of anybody. What was going on? Aren't you concerned about Fanny? This is not Fanny. Well, I never did get the answers from them. Finally, it was announced. Fanny had a baby. And her name is Judith. Now, this is part of the story. I better get going. When Melvin married Fanny, Melvin grew up without a father. The whole family grew up without a father. Fanny was strong enough, I believe, to bring healing and fulfillment in Melvin's life. What I didn't know at that point, later on, Judith would also marry somebody that had lost his father, Perry Lee. And I didn't think of that until this morning. How amazing that was. And how God was able to put the fittings together. And that she knew, I believe, that she had a task. Because I don't know what it's like to live up, to grow up without a father. But during that time, Melvin built a special relationship with my dad. And that it also included me. And one of those projects, and it's still in the community. If you see a long bale elevator that's longer than anyone you've ever seen, Melvin built that and I helped him. Thank you.
I just want to take this opportunity to say, give a few remarks, if I may. If I don't may, I will anyways. Well, first of all, I just feel extremely blessed this morning and thankful. And I, as I look back, I thought I was going to share memories too, and so that's why my mind is kind of full. But I think of all the memories growing up, and I don't have time to go into that. But like Al said, there was just a lot of good groundwork done. And I just want to thank you as a family for opening your hearts to us. And when we were in Europe, we'd come back, and Melvin and Fanny were our children's grandparents, beside the others. So we just rejoice in that, and thank you from our heart. And as I thought back, when Janelle was not 21 yet, they let her go with us to Europe, a young lady, 5 years. Profound influence on our children. Thank you. But I would like to read what our daughter sent Tanya from Ghana. And she said, I think of Fanny choosing joy, loving everyone and putting people at ease with her humor. And she said a favorite story was when a bunch of them were together with Melvin and Fanny, and they were talking about how hard it is to get old. And everyone was agreed, getting old is not easy. And then Fanny, who was struggling the most at that time physically, said, it has its perks. Sound like Fanny, doesn't it? So they said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I didn't wash the dishes today. Well, so that sounds humorous, but now aren't we all sure that she would have preferred to wash dishes than to have to deal with that horrible disease? But she didn't focus on that. And so she concludes, I can usually find a perk, a spot of joy, if I'm willing to. That's the challenge, isn't it? This is an obituary and a tribute that the family asked me to read. Fanny Nisley, 90, died Saturday, September 1, 2018, at home. She was born December 17th, 1927, in Reno County, the daughter of Daniel and Barbara Helmuth Yoder. On October 23, 1949, Fanny married Melvin Nisley in Hutchinson. He survives. Also surviving are children Judith Stutzman and husband Perry of Hutchinson, Joyce Bontrager and husband Steve of Kokomo, Indiana, Cynthia Miller and husband Dale of Plain City, Ohio, Titus and wife Mary Jane of Hutchinson, Janelle Nisley of Evansville, Indiana, sister Rebecca Miller of Mount Gilead, Ohio, brother Levi Yoder and wife Colleen of Greeley, Colorado, brother Alfred Yoder and wife Linda of Phoenix, Arizona, brother Paul Yoder and wife Edith of Hutchinson, brother-in-law Raymond Nisley of South Hutchinson, 11 grandchildren and 21 great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her parents, sisters, her sister Mary Nisley, and a sister Bertha Helmuth and Bertha's husband Elvin, a brother Vernon Yoder and his wife Marilyn, brother-in-law Lester Miller, and a granddaughter Julia Stutzman. Now for the tribute. Beloved wife, mother, friend, lover of God, Mom did life wholeheartedly. Her pragmatic philosophy that sometimes you have to do things you don't like was accompanied by a deep private faith that publicly demonstrated God's intimate involvement in every part of life. She never stopped learning, studying her Bible, taking notes, reading biographies, asking questions, which defined her up to the last months of her life. Mom's capital was relationships. She cared deeply, prayed fervently, and wholeheartedly accepted people. She loved her family. For Thanksgiving and Christmas, our family lingered over Mom's famous apple pie that disappeared silver by silver over 2 hours of loud opinions and laughter. We listened to Mom and Dad fussing at each other, laughing together, and raising a bunch of five children with very different personalities together. We picked strawberries, played Chinese checkers, and went on family outings. She loved her church community, encouraging young mothers, especially those from other communities, praying for the ministers, and going to the sewing are just a few examples of her commitment to the church. In her notes for her funeral, she made this statement: all the ministers have part in some way as an honor for their faithful shepherding throughout my life. Is it any wonder that many individuals from the church gave time to help care for her? We thank you, friends, for your generous and loving help in caring for Mom. She loved her greater community, mending clothes for years as a volunteer at Mennonite Friendship Manor, making friends through quilting, and sharing Jesus to lonely, unnoticed people by befriending, helping, and loving them. Is it any wonder that her nurses were devoted to her? We thank you, Angel Home Health and Kindred Hospice Nurses, for your loving care for Mom. She loved the world, reading voraciously of God's work all over the world, praying for missionaries, even traveling to see her missionary brother overseas, and sharing their stories with her family. Mom loved to quilt, so Dad built her a quilt room when they moved to the Dottie house. It became her creative sanctuary, considering patterns and colors, cutting and piecing, and teaching her granddaughters. Of course, the whole family was required to admire the finished product. Her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and needy people in other parts of the world were happy recipients of her labor of love. Her second love, much to Dad's consternation, was coffee. It was the conversations, the relationships, which were enriched during time spent over a cup of coffee that fueled her love for it. Perhaps Mom was best known for a wry, pointed sense of humor. Never one to shy away from a duel of words, she managed to make her point with touches of humor that kept the conversation from becoming too heated. She was an advocate for truth, the underdog, and those she loved speaking up when it was easier to be quiet. In the face of a debilitating disease that stole her voice, she defiantly continued to write words that invited us into her joy and settled faith in God's goodness. As recipients of Mom's legacy, we, her descendants, shout thanks to our Lord, who blessed us with such a spirited, faith-filled, Jesus-loving mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. Our worship of the King of Kings and these generational blessings, we speak over the spiritual and physical generations yet to come.
Well, thank you to you men for taking this opportunity to share. Well, friends, we've been wrestling with something that is a paradox that we deal with, and that is, how can death be an enemy, as the Bible describes it, and yet be such a friend? Today, obviously, in 1 Corinthians 5, it speaks about death being the last enemy to be conquered. So it's spoken of as an enemy. But I admit that when I heard that Fanny passed, it felt like a friend had visited the home. I would just like to bless the family for the ways that you cared for your mother, and for the ways that has enriched that tradition among us. May God bless you. And Brother Melvin, may the Lord attend you with his grace and strength. I'll turn the final viewing over to the funeral director. I'm sorry, I was to make one announcement that I failed, and that is that the cemetery road is very soggy, is very muddy. The parking lot at the cemetery is very soggy, and so as much carpooling as can be done, you will appreciate it yourselves. So do as much of that as possible for the Lord.